Here we go. It is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, end of mini camp edition. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is here, Mr. Ira Kaufman, Lee DeCamper, of course, and intern Zach Seifter is earning some stripes. He's actually holding a microphone right now, Ira. I'm not sure I'm going to allow him to talk. I have to give that secret signal.
Lee, we got to stop right now. We got to stop the podcast right now. Lee, I'm transfixed. I'm looking at Isbitz's wallet. It's sitting on the table. It reminds me of that Seinfeld episode, Costanza's wallet. It was gigantic. He couldn't even put it in his pocket. I assume you got a lot of singles there, and those are not $50 bills.
Now, these
bills,
are receipts, Ira. This is paper.
Zach, right? Are you
paper.
Looking at that wallet? I mean, it's bulging.
Steve keeps receipts from 5 years back.
Yeah, well, you must have the phone number of every buck in there.
With a wallet like that, I'd have to see a freaking chiropractor.
I guess I'm
sure
just
you don't have a
it.
Boil on your ass by now.
It's just receipts, Ira. Receipts.
Anyway, you may proceed. I can't get over that visual over there, Zach.
Maybe I'll take a picture of it and send it to you.
That thing could dent a freaking car. God
damn.
All right. Now, look, your podcast, Ira, very exciting news. Your podcast presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. All the new offers are out. You can see them at edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Offers means all the new hot deals for June that only last through June. And I have to say, these June offers are better than past June offers. These are pretty special stuff. But what's even more special is that you, Ira, will be twice available for the public to be hugged and squeezed and loved and photobombed at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. We'll start with that. Friday, June 21st, 5 to 7 p.m., anyone and everyone is invited. You just have to RSVP at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa.
Right off 275, Stephen. Absolutely.
EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. You can RSVP 5 to 7. Free food, free drinks, free refreshments. Great time. The whole rollout of the new XT6 model Cadillac, the 2020. Very cool. And, of course, the showroom there is beautiful.
Heck of a showroom.
And you can check anything out you want. Ira can introduce you around. He can throw us some weight around. He'll probably have an extra 5 pounds by the end of the night and hook you up there. And the night before, Thursday, June 20th, Ira will be at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.
Causeway Boulevard. There we go.
RSVP at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, 5 to 7. Free food. Lee, of course, you're welcome to attend either one of these events.
And our man Beast intern will be in Brandon. Yes, monitoring me.
We have dispatched Zach to Brandon to add up your caloric intake, take some pictures, and write about it. Because
I RSVP'd yesterday.
There you go,
get
Zach.
Get there early, Zach. Going to be a big turnout.
Feel free to bring your girlfriend there, unless she's going to distract you from your hard work or relatives, friends.
I think I'm bringing the missus, Stephen, to Brandon.
What about your girlfriend?
The Kemper waiting in the wings in there. You see that?
That was one of the great lines in a while. That's almost as good as the offers at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Now, Ira, you know, one thing that makes me laugh is Zach.
One?
Intern, yeah, one thing. Zach, intern Zach, actually stepped over the line yesterday and said, yeah, the slow season's coming up. There's no slow season on JoeBucksFan.com.
Zach, come on.
You got to do better than that.
It's a rookie mistake. Zach, a rookie mistake. We go 12 months a year here, and you know that, and our readers know that, too, and our listeners.
I bring that up, Ira, because today you are going to Amalie Arena to tape two new episodes of Tampa 2.
Taking Zach with me.
Taking Zach to learn. I want to hear all about your drive time with Zach to and from. You'll be with Derek Brooks. Two more episodes shot today. Then you're getting back into you're hitting the road and cutting six more episodes, and these are all for the summer.
And those will be at Caldeco Air and Heating Headquarters.
All right, there you go. Maybe we'll see your hair blowing in the cool breeze. So Tampa 2 continues. That's with the Identity Tampa Bay. Subscribe to their newsletter, which is awesome.
And there's a lot of topics that we need Derek Brooks to weigh in on.
Yay, that's a lot of episodes, a lot of time, a lot of topics. And so that keeps rolling. I know you've confirmed your Fox 13 gig for next year, so you'll be on Tailgate Sunday with Fox.
They say I add, quote, spice to the telecast. Well, what about information, Steve? Well, you know, spice only goes so far,
now,
Lee.
Now, Lee, I have to throw this to Lee here, Ira, because, you know, Lee and I, we feel bad for you. Now, Lee, what do you think the odds are that Ira asked for a raise for this year on Fox?
100%.
I don't think he did. Whoa. You asked, did you demand a raise?
This time. Can I have you negotiate this thing?
You got to ask for a raise.
Shouldn't I ask for a raise, Lee?
You won't get one unless you ask for one, right?
Well, I think the same thing applies to Joe Buck's fan. Boom, bada bing, bada boom. Oh, wait a minute. I almost knocked Steve off his feet over
Let
there.
Me just say, Rupert, well, it's not owned by Rupert Murdoch anymore. Let's just say Disney has a few more shekels than Steve and I.
I understand.
All right, well, Larry, see, we're reporters here, guys. Zach, you can learn a lot from this situation. I'm going to ask Ira some simple questions as he sits there on the stand.
How's your salary cap situation to Joe Buck's fan?
Ira, are you earning more than you did when you first got to JoeBucksFan.com?
I believe I am, Zach, but I'm doing more.
I got a better question. Are you earning more with JoeBucksFan.com as we speak than you did when you were first hired at the Tribune?
First hired at the Tribune?
First hired at
1990?
The Tribune. 1990?
Reported, dispatched to Pasco County?
The very first time you walked in the building.
No way.
I don't know. I'm going to have to research that. But certainly more than I made at UPI New York in 1976 right out of college.
Oh, my gosh.
When I was a sports clerk tracking down International League box scores.
And working the midnight shift. I remember some of the stories.
Yeah, that overnight was brutal.
International League, like minor league baseball?
Yeah, minor league baseball. Wow. We covered everything over there.
Maybe over the summer we'll get into some stories of you on the subway at midnight going to work.
You know what? I got a lot of stories.
Yeah, I'm sure
I
you
bet
do.
You do.
All right, what? Sage.
Just a little taste. Things that are going to show.
Corned beef?
Just a little taste. One time I was going through Greenwich Village and some guy was sitting across from me and he said, I had nice gams. Now, first of all, who uses the word gams in the 20th century? I mean,
21st century.
Gams. You have nice gams. And
what is that, like a Civil War?
That's just a little taste for our listeners.
Now, I got to ask you this. My only time in Greenwich Village, it was like I was a throwback in the 60s. It was so stereotypical. I get off the train, and there's like some sort of prayer circle, for lack of a better term, and guys are tapping on bongos.
That was a bunch of Buck fans, obviously. Continue.
No, there was some kind of, it was a prayer circle, like although they were protesting, so obviously protesting. You can't live in Greenwich Village unless you don't protest something. And they got the bongo drums out and stuff.
And what'd you do?
And banjis. I laughed and walked
to the
restaurant.
Walked right past them to the pizzeria.
John's on 7th, if I remember correctly.
John's on 8th Street.
On 8th Street, okay, yeah. John, way overrated lasagna. Wait, but the tiramisu. I'd walk on my knees to Manhattan for that.
I don't even want to look at that visual over there. Steve, what do we got coming up here? What do we got?
All right, well, exciting news is that on the next podcast, drum roll, on the next podcast, we will be sitting down, because we've already done it, with Bucko Bruce-Arians, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That interview is in the books, and there's going to be a lot of layers to it because...
No subject off limits, right, Steve? We weren't put under any restrictions.
No microscope, no subject off limits. Most of the stuff really is a pretty timeless sort of philosophical kind of stuff, and it's going to be one of those that Bucs fans don't want to miss. And Zach, you know what? I'm going to put you on the spot as somebody who sat in on the interview. And we're not going to air the interview now because we have to put it together for next week. But, Zach, what was one big takeaway you got from that Arians interview as a fan, as a Joe Bucks fan intern listening in?
He doesn't want to spend money on a running back. That's my big thing. A lot of people had speculation that the Bucks could go after Le'Veon Bell, even though there was no cap space there to do so. He made it especially clear that he doesn't value a running back enough to spend $12, $15 million on
even
him.
In the best of situations with salary cap.
Hey, right. And, you know, honestly, with the way the Bucks cap is, that could be he won't spend $7, $8, $9 million. And that was very interesting, especially the way it came up. So that's just a little bit of a taste. And, it was obvious. I didn't look at it from the Le'Veon Bell front, but there was never a thought.
No.
And you know what? I believe I remember, Lee, reading the Lock and Fours of the world saying, oh, Bell, Le'Veon Bell and the Bucks and Langston.
Bucks are in the mix. Yeah, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So very obvious that there was absolutely no chance of that.
Hold on, I want to jump on that for a second, Steve. And, Lee, I'm going to direct this at you because you read everything. I read 60%. You read 100%. The Lock and Fours, the Rappaports, Lee, you're always on those guys. And, Lee, I think you'd agree with me. And not so much those two, but when other people weigh in, Barstool Sports or a Bleacher Report or whatever. Lee, you ever notice how people outside of Tampa that aren't around this team, that don't watch this team, and all of a sudden they want to weigh in on the Bucks? Lee, a lot of times they make asses of themselves.
Oh, you mean like I can't remember who wrote it, Oh, it was a guy from the MMQB. It wasn't Albert Breer, but one of his underlings. He wrote that the Bucks letting go of Gerald McCoy lost the heart of their defense.
Yeah, yeah, that's a narrative that's out there. Yeah, yeah.
And I like Gerald McCoy. I wish he would have stayed. I don't know if I would call him the heart of the defense.
But, Steve, you know what I mean, too. Like, sometimes you'll read something, and all of a sudden some guy will say, you know, and Ryan Smith is in the thick of it after, you know, having a good season last year or whatever. People that don't cover the Bucks, they get exposed. Steve,
yeah.
They expose themselves.
There was something, I don't know if you saw this before the draft, Stephen A. Smith went out and said that the Bucks were going to draft Dwayne Haskins at number 5, or that they should have. And that's
another good example.
Possibility.
Well, what's even better is Haskins, he said, oh, he's such a running quarterback. Dude's a drop back.
And they weren't going to do anything that was going to threaten Jameis Winston in any way, Steve. And when you draft the quarterback number 5, the expectation is he's going to play.
Anybody that saw Haskins play knows for a fact he's not a running quarterback, and it tells me how many games of Ohio State that SAS.
I guess what I'm saying is you got to do your research, not just when you're weighing in on the Bucks, but you got to do your research.
Well, let me say this, and last tease of the interview coming up. Arians does go into draft strategy for the Buccaneers for the 2019 season. Not only in the first round, which, remember,
and it was very interesting the way he put it.
Remember, everybody that we heard from one Buck, public, said there was only one man they were drafting. He was the guy, Devin White. Well,
we have a new wrinkle.
I think we have a new wrinkle. And we also, on top of that, Ira, we learn a lot about the strategy after that.
That's
so
right.
A lot to look forward to. Now, the podcast. You can find it a few places. First of all, the whole family of Joe Bucks Fan podcasts is at joebucksfan.com/podcasts. So you can catch up. You can do whatever you need to do. Family's growing. We got Scuttlebucks coming back for the season, Ira. You should get up to speed and start listening to them.
Todd Wright's been doing some good stuff. Yep.
And Todd Wright has more things planned. His fantasy football podcast is renewed, coming back for 3 times a week like he was doing it. And that starts the 3rd week in July, presented by Hooters, and then his the Bucks Bulletin edition, where he focuses on the Bucks game from a fantasy perspective.
Boy, he is sharp on fantasy, Lee.
He
is sharp.
If I could say something about Todd's cast real quick.
Sure.
The Todd cast. I don't know if you got a chance yet or not, Ira, but that podcast he did, edition, about Dumig, I'll say it again, powerful.
He probably did it that night to have everything fresh in his mind.
He probably did. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, he did, didn't he not, Steve? That night? You got it pretty quick and you put it up.
Yeah, for Steve Dumig fans, Todd used to fill in for Steve. He was Steve's hand-picked fill-in guy. I once asked Steve if I could fill in. This is kind of a funny Dumig story. I said, Steve, can I fill in? Lee and I can fill in. You know, we can fill in. You know, especially some of these, you know, sometimes you cut off early for the Rays game, we can get in there. He looks at me and he says, I want an audience when I come back.
Classic Dumig.
He said, I won't even let the guys here at the station fill in, so we'll leave it at that.
And but they had the celebration service for Steve on Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday was the celebration service. But the point is, with Todd Wright, before that, Todd had told me I'm going to do you and Lee did a sort of a Dumig discussion tribute podcast. He said, I'm going to do one, and that'll probably be my next one. And then he emailed me like a day later. He said, I just did the Dumig podcast, and I deleted it because it just didn't feel right. He said, I think the moment will hit me when I can do it the right way. I don't know when that'll be, but you'll get some, you know, different podcasts from me soon. Okay. Well, yeah, he went to the memorial service Sunday.
As did I.
And he came home.
And you.
And did the podcast. Yeah. And so he did a great job with it. I listened to that podcast. I'm like, oh, gosh, are we so far from radio professionals? It's unbelievable. But, Sage, you're still a legend, and your podcast is back dancing in and out of that top 50 on Google Play. But you can find your podcast iTunes as well, which iTunes is disappearing now. Apple's getting rid of it. But it's still there, Podbean, other platforms, et cetera. So,
I don't want anything being done that's going to hurt my chances of being in that top 50, Steve. So if you think that's a problem, you get with the people from iTunes and get this thing straightened
out. Well, you're at Google Play top 50.
See,
guys,
I don't know these
you're
things.
You're good.
What do I know?
you're good at it.
Google Play is Google.
I'm lucky I can Google the weather report over there, Zach.
All right, Sage, we have wrapped up minicamp. 3-day minicamp. It's wrapped up about a week earlier than usual.
I got a tidbit. I have a tidbit because you know our listeners are ravenous. Ravenously. Now, not for that lasagna that you're talking about up in Spring Hill.
Tiramisu. Tiramisu.
Tiramisu. But the ravenous, they want to know everything. And I was asking today, you know, well, what about the date of training camp? What about the date of training camp? We know the approximate thing. Somebody said, that's in the know, you go back 15 days.
Yes.
You go back 15 days from the first preseason game, and there you have it.
And that's July 25th.
You've already done the research.
Well, the Steelers people
are saying, what day of the week is that? July 25th.
I want to say Thursday off the top of my head. Of course, I don't have my phone with me. But I do remember.
Zach, you're supposed to know that stuff off the top of your head.
The Pittsburgh game is August 9th, which is that a Friday?
Friday, 7:30, yep.
I do know a couple Steelers reporters.
So I think it is a Thursday. I think you're right.
Well, a couple of Steelers reporters put out on Twitter when the schedule was released, practice starts September 25th. All right, September. I'm sorry, July 25th. So, you know, they're playing. Bucks are playing the Steelers, same day, same game. So
now, Steve, here's the compelling angle, and you don't know the answer to this, but I know you're
interested. You don't know what I know.
Steve? That's a doom and line.
Steve, what are the plans for the accessibility to Buck Nation for these training camp sessions? We don't know that, and it was cut back last year, and we think that was a mistake, Steve.
It was cut back significantly, and now the reason we bring up camp dates, look, most reporters, not us completely, but most reporters ask because they want to know when I got to get to work on that, you know, I got to make my plans. But fans care a lot, too, because they come on out, and I think there's always the reporting day, and then the next day starts practice. The reporting day is when they get all measured and weighed.
Which is technically day one.
Right. Technically, right. So
that's when McCoy would come in with the kimono.
Yeah, with the kimono. Yes, yes. Would you wear a kimono, Ira, to first day?
I'm wearing it to Ed Morse later this month. There's another reason for fans to show up.
Well, I know people that will wear a kimono in Las Vegas. That's a whole different story.
That's a whole different story. But Steve, shouldn't they make more practices available?
All right, last year it was cut short. The Buccaneers tried to squeeze more value out of their season passes.
They also took the stands out.
Right. So last year was, hey, if you buy a season pass, hey, you're going to get access to all these training camp dates that regular fans can't. And I understand the Bucs trying to build that value, but come on, there's a better way. Win some games. That'll build some more value if you want to build some value. But this year's different. They lowered a lot of ticket prices. And you haven't seen a lot of that kind of thing out there, the way they're promoting it. We don't know the dates yet. And I hope they open it up. Now, somebody heard from Arians today. I wasn't there in front of him about no indoor practices, or there's a goal for that?
Limited, very limited, sounds like. Only weather-related indoor practices.
Well, his exact quote was, and Ira asked him about, are you going to use the indoor facility? His exact quote was, I hope not. But he said, obviously, there was lightning or there's heavy rain. They're going to go inside.
And Lee thinks it's important to bring back the stands for fans' convenience.
Yeah, and I'm selfishly wanting that as well. But I don't – and I wrote about this about a year ago on JoeBucksFan.com. I don't understand. If you think about it, from about 10 to 15 years ago, slowly but steadily, they've cut back access for fans. Remember, they used to have a fan fest at the stadium.
Yes.
They did away with that.
I thought that was successful.
Yes, it was. And when they did away with that, they responded, oh, we'll have a night practice. So the night practice technically was a fan fest, but people couldn't get autographs. They couldn't mingle. They couldn't get on the field. But they said it was like a celebration, and they have fireworks and stuff. Well, then they stopped that. And then it was just practices here at One Buck Place where people can come out. And then cut that back. And now they don't have any bleachers at all. It's like the next step is like no fan access.
Steve, they used to get a big turnout for Fan Fest. It usually was a Saturday night.
Yeah.
People bring their kids. The players linger. I thought it was very successful. And I thought they sold a lot of tickets
that
night.
Well, it was very successful because of the turnout. They had the fireworks show. And it was just a nice Bucks event for the summer. But remember, that was sponsored by Bright House. And there used to be a big partnership there, Time Warner. And so, you know, when the Bucks have
see
to cut
how you
the,
always go to the business.
Well, when
angle,
the Bucks
Steve.
Have to cut the check to staff the stadium and an $8,000 fireworks show and all the other stuff, and then all the stuff that goes on with that, it's different. I don't know. I do think though those bleachers have to come back. It's a no-brainer. You go to practice. You want to sit down and watch. It's not complicated. If you want to cut the bleacher amount, fine. You want to move them somewhere else, but Jiminy Christmas. Now, I know the Bucks' counter-argument, to be fair, would be, hey, Dirk Cutter had half the practice indoors last year. Everybody march over for the last 45 minutes in the bubble, and there's 3,000 seats, and what are you complaining about? It's beautiful. I get that, but it sounds like Arians isn't going to do that split practice with Cutter, like Cutter did, which was partial indoors. He's just going to practice on multiple fields,
yes.
And his whole attitude is, you know, work really hard for less time in the sun, multiple fields, and we get out of here.
Now, Steve, along those lines, and Lee, if you got two major practices going on at the same time and you're in the bleachers, you don't have a great look at that far field.
Oh, yeah, you do in the bleachers? Sure you do.
Even the far field?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's not up close, but you can see stuff going on there. Now, if someone's really intense, and I used to sit up there all the time, myself, Rick Brown.
Roy Cummings.
Roy. And I thought the view was fantastic. Now, on the far side of the second field, if you tried to read a number, like, who is that returning kicks? Yeah, you'd need binoculars. But you could see both fields at the same time. Good luck seeing two fields at one time when you're standing on the sidelines.
Their idea is you're giving people the freedom to walk around. That's true. Their idea.
And we got to be fair to the Glazer family. They cut the check for the shed, which is fabulous.
And they did it very well.
And, of course, when they do have open practices in the shed, there's air-conditioned seating for people, which is critical. We can sit and complain, and I think rightly so, and criticize the Bucks for cutting down access, but I also think it's fair to say, hey, the Bucks, not Hillsborough County, the Bucks cut the check for that indoor facility.
And as punk-ass writers, Steve, we're hoping for rain every freaking day, so you got indoor practice.
Ain't that the truth?
Ain't that the truth, Stevie? Come on now.
All right, Ira. Back to the football
field. Guilty as charged.
Back to the field. OTAs, minicamp. It's done. Underwear football. You know the deal. Bruce Arians is really doubled down yesterday, saying that he doesn't give a bloop if they're rookies or not. He thinks these defensive back guys are top shelf. We talked about he thinks the secondary's fixed, and he thinks he's got what he's got here with these rookies. And
we have to throw some caution in there, in the words of the immortal Lee DeKemper with the underwear football. Lee,
Raheem.
Lee, he's lauding these defensive backs, the young guys, for picking things up. They're smart. They're sharp. They're communicating. Lee, what else is he going to say? Mm-hmm. We don't want to read too much into it, Lee.
Yeah, I responded to someone this morning on JoeBucksFan.com in the comments. I cannot, just my personal experience and getting burned, I cannot rave about a guy in underwear football. I keep thinking Kenny Bell. I keep thinking of Patton from Florida, that looked like a world beater. He couldn't even finish a season with the worst team in the NFL.
It's only June, gentlemen. It's only June.
I always forget the guy's name, Streeter from Miami. Looked like he was a no-brainer to make the team. Wide receiver, he didn't make the team. Like I said, Kenny Bell, you know, Hall of Fame underwear football, he vanished when the pads came on. So I can't get worked. It gives me something to write about. Thank goodness it gives me something to write about, but I can't put
it
stop.
And it's better than Arians saying they're having all kinds of trouble with Bowles' playbook.
Boy,
you don't want to hear that.
That would be a major red flag if a new coach came out and said, man, we're really struggling in underwear football. That's like,
we're out of position. Communication's terrible. Miscommunication. Because God knows we've seen that before. When the games count, Lee, we've seen a lot of miscommunication on this defense.
I'm going to say something.
Guys are out of position.
I'm going to say something right now I had heard through the grapevine.
Another unsourced story over there, DeKemper?
Unsourced as far as this podcast, you're damn right. Because look, I'm sorry. You know, people criticize me for doing this. Well, you know, would you rather have me talk about the Flintstones?
Put a name to a damn quote, DeKemper.
Not when my reputation's on the line.
Actually,
and I already promised.
I'm kidding, because that's the only reason you get this
information. Yeah, exactly. Steve and I knew the communication was, if not 100% BS, it was a cover for something that was much more sinister, even though it dealt with communication. Communication was, at best, glossed over. Okay. I was told by someone who monitors NFL films, game films, that Mike Smith, one game last year, Mike Smith ran the very same coverage 27 plays in a row. The very same coverage. You know, you heard people say the defense was predictable, or the offense predictable? Well, the defense was even more predictable. That'd be like Cutter running it up the middle 27 times in a row.
You know how many different defenses Belichick shows on 27 plays? 27.
That's what I had heard. And given the fact that they were steamrolling toward the worst defense in the 99-year history of the NFL, that doesn't surprise me. I mean,
where are your in-game adjustments?
Well, not just that. Communication, the same freaking thing, 27 plays in a row. Communication in my rear end.
Well, it speaks to the disastrous regime of Dirk Cutter to allow that to happen. He's watching the film more than anybody. So
Arian seems very happy with these young players, Steve. We'll see. We'll know more in early to mid-August when we see him with the pads on and a couple of preseason games. But so far, you know, unless Arians is blowing a lot of smoke, which, you know, is possible, he seems very pleased with their progress.
Here's one for you. I'll put a name on this. Devontae Bond. I was talking to him after practice. Mike Smith had checked out mentally. When I hear stuff like 27 coverage or 27 plays in a row, same coverage, you're checked out. Either you're checked out or you're going senile or something.
I think Steve got the same kind of information.
Yeah. I just got to put a visual to this because think of Mike Smith in the booth.
Yeah.
Talking to Quan Alexander or Levante David's ear saying, 6-5-7, check red, 27 times
and
in a row.
And they say, again? Yes.
Yeah, and he's probably sitting there with, you know, his hand in his head.
And then David walks to the huddle and says, 6-5-7, check red. These guys must have been
But
like,
Steve, you had heard the same things.
Go ahead, Lee.
Well, what Devontae Bond was telling me, it really wasn't related to Mike Smith, but indirectly, I guess you could say it could be. He just said that the defenders are really mentally dialed in because not just the defense is different, but they're switching things up all the time, you know. And that has nothing to do with 27 straight coverages or 27 plays in a row is the same coverage. But Devontae Bond was telling me how they're really into it mentally because it's almost like a chess game. You know, what kind of defense are we going to call? What are we going to do? And Arians has spoken to that a little bit, that they're going to bring the kitchen sink at people. Whatever you're going to do that every play, you know, it isn't the same defense 27 plays in a row. I guarantee that. So I thought it was interesting in Devontae Bond.
I haven't seen one person, Steve, you read everything that's out there, that I haven't seen one person who doesn't think Todd Bowles is one of the better defensive coordinators in the league.
I've seen many people say that.
Well, I know exactly.
I could get my brother on the phone now.
Your brother? Who's your brother?
A diehard Jets fan. I mean, they couldn't wait to get rid of him. Most of the Jets fans.
I didn't say head coach. I said defensive coordinator.
They don't care. He was heavy-handed on the defense, and he brought in his best buddy on the
My answer is when you're a head coach, you're not heavy-handed, and I think it hurts you. And Dirk Cutter's one of my prime examples.
I would have to disagree only because if you're not heavy-handed on one side of the field, because that should be your expertise, you're detached. You're not coaching.
You've got a lot of responsibilities as a head coach.
Oh, sure. But I can only think of two coaches, and they were Hall of Fame coaches. I can only think of two coaches. Well, even these two guys were heavy-handed. I was going to say these guys were both offensive and defensive coordinators, which you rarely see anymore. Tom Landry and Belichick. Those guys are heavy-handed. Well, Landry was. Belichick certainly is. If you're an offensive guy, how could you not be heavy-handed? You'd have to be heavy-handed in your offense because you're the one picking the coach. You're the one calling the play. Dirk Cutter was heavy-handed on the offense.
Steve, speaking of Bowles' tenure in New York.
Hold on, Ira. Hold on, Sage. Zach, well, watch me pin Ira down here.
Uh-oh.
Watch this.
Oh, boy.
Can I finish my statement?
No, of course not. You just said
this is podcast?
Not heavy. You don't think Bruce Arians is heavy-handed in this offense? Or are you going to tell me this is Leftwich's offense?
Well, I think Arians has final say, but it remains to be seen how much he's going to delegate. We'll see. It's one of my concerns.
I know it's one of your concerns.
It's one of my concerns.
I know. I think that's part of the point is up in New York, we heard Casey Rogers up here at the podium say it's Todd's defense.
Let me throw out this final thing, and you can ask your brother about this mysterious brother of yours that nobody knows about. Correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen. Bowles had no chance. Bowles had no chance to succeed. Terrible organization, and there's a reason for it. Look at the top. Unbelievable. Woody Johnson, a clown. His brother, just as much of a clown. Now that Johnson, I think, is the ambassador to England, he's got his brother over there. It's a dysfunctional organization. I don't think Todd Bowles had a legitimate chance to succeed in New York.
You do know he was one win away from the playoffs with Ryan Fitzpatrick quarterback?
Well, I think...
Is that not success?
Now you're praising Bowles. Before, you were slapping him around.
You can't have it both ways. He was the one slapping him around, but how could you say he didn't have any success when he's one win from the playoffs with Ryan Fitzpatrick?
That'd be like Josh McCown. New York's a cesspool.
I'm not saying the Jets are the model organization, but if they're a cesspool, what the hell is this place?
Well, Dirk Cutter went 9-7, gentlemen.
And he was one win away. But you can't argue he didn't have success.
Rex Ryan went to what? 2 AFC championship games with the Jets? Back to back?
Different organization.
He played for Johnson.
You didn't pin anything down. What are you, Bruno Sammartino? You're not pinning anybody down.
Wasn't Herm coaching for Johnson?
Hey, Bowles.
Remember John Idzik went there? It was a disaster.
That was a disaster.
Bowles did a great job in Arizona, which was a crap organization at the time. Let's call it what it was.
The main turnaround in Arizona was on defense.
Right.
And who was coaching?
Right. And it was Bowles. He did a great job.
So you're making my point, Stevie.
Making your point. He turned it around within a crap organization in Arizona. And the defense had one good year with Darrelle Revis returning to Pro Bowl form, superstar form. And in New York, and then it went right in the toilet.
I just don't think you guys are recognizing the difference when a guy becomes a head coach, and then how much his pedigree is on defense, and if the defense thinks you're going to blame Bowles. It's different when you're at a coordinator, and it's different how hands-on you can be as a head coach. I think it's different. I just think it's different.
I know what you're saying, but it's not like they're detached.
Wade Phillips, average head coach, tremendous coordinator. Tremendous. Anyway.
What I'm interpreting you as saying, okay, he was a defensive coach, that's where he made his bones, but as a head coach, he's hands-off. I think that's just the opposite.
I didn't say hands-off, but I'm not going to judge him as harshly if his defense plays lousy, if he's the head coach, as I am the defensive coordinator. I started off this discussion, gentlemen, if you remember, it was 90 seconds ago, by saying I think Bowles has a sterling reputation as a defensive coordinator. That's all I said, Steve.
Until
you brought your crazy brother into the freaking argument.
There's a lot of lauding of Todd Bowles out there, but I put a lot of stock into the real people who are watching the games without you. You brought up yourself the national pundits who, weigh in on teams but aren't really watching the games.
Right.
And I think Bowles has. Maybe his stock was knocked real high in Arizona, and then a lot of people rode that going forward. Doesn't mean he's not a great defensive mind and won't do a great job here. It's just we got a lot to see.
It's almost time for me to drive Zach over to our appointment today.
Not free lunch?
Yeah, you know what? I might stop for a quick lunch.
Oh,
Zach, what are you buying me?
All right, Ari, yes, we're going to get you out of here. And so we remember Bruce Arians coming back. For our next podcast will be very entertaining and a lot to talk about with that. And, of course, look, we're arguing football. We could do this all the way through, and we will
Can believe we keep this podcast up through the summer. Nobody believes
that. Like the Bowles thing. Lots of people believe that. What are you talking about? Who are these people?
Jason Lockenfora, in Rappaport.
All right, I'm going to throw it to Lee to ask you a final question, and then you'll get us out of here.
What did you take away from underwear football season?
I took away that they didn't suffer any major injuries, except for off-field Pierre Paul. Can't help that. I think that's important because other teams were hurt. Guys might be a little doubtful for the start of training camp because of injuries that happened during OTAs. I think the Bucs are fortunate in that regard. I think there's a general enthusiasm around here, Lee, with this new staff, but we've seen this before. We saw it with Lovie, who was a proven winner to an extent. Got to an NFC title game. Got to a Super Bowl with the Bears. And so there was, a general euphoria about going
was
back
there?
To basics. I think there was.
With the players? Really?
With the town.
Well, yeah,
with
there
the
was.
Town. There
yes,
was.
Yes, yes.
And that's one of the reasons he got the job. And so we saw how that turned out. Now, I'm not comparing Bruce Arians to Lovie Smith, who has not distinguished himself in your beloved Illinois.
Oh, I didn't go to school there. I went about an hour south of there.
So, look, there's a lot of there's enthusiasm here. We hope it lingers and bleeds into camp. I think it will. And I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of Buck fans during camp. And I mean you, Port Richie Lou, and guys of your ilk. We don't know if Javier's coming, but if he does, bring another couple cigars. And get out of here, Steven.